Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're working our way through Paul's letter that we call 1 Corinthians. It's actually not his first letter to the Corinthians. That would be a mistake. Apparently, he wrote
first one we have.
Other ones, but first one we have. And we are we're actually halfway through the book. We've done 8 chapters out of 16. We're going to slow down a little bit. We've got some longer chapters, and so we'll still spend about 3 more sessions in this. And tonight, or this week, we're in chapters 9, 10, and most of 11.
Part of 11.
Yeah.
So a little bit less reading. Well, chapter-wise.
Yeah, like chapter-wise. Like it's not a chapter a day.
Yeah. So if we set the stage, you know, we go back to last week, and there was a couple of big events that we kind of talked through. There was some church discipline problems. And I don't want to minimize those by any means. There was a son that was sleeping with the stepmother.
Yeah.
And Paul needed to put a stop to it. And that was a big issue. And an even bigger issue in Paul's eyes was that the church was proud of that fact. So he needed to remind people what was right, what was not right. And he was serious and yelling at these people about it.
Yeah.
He also talked about lawsuits and that ordinary and easy lawsuits should be resolved within the church versus going external.
Yeah.
A chapter on marriage.
Yeah.
You know, should I get married? Should I not get married? What happens in this case? What happens in that case? And then we ended with food sacrifice to idols.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that, it's just food.
Yeah.
I mean, we know it's just food. But if that food is going to be a stumbling block to a less mature Christian, you shouldn't eat it.
Yeah. One of the ways that we need to make sure that we handle the book is, or the letter, is number one, remembering it's a letter. You know, and some of these things he was addressing because he knew they were problems. And some of these things, starting with chapter 7, he was addressing because they were asking him, so what are we supposed to do about this? What are we supposed to know? Yeah. And so from here through the end of the letter, really, he's responding to some things that have come up either in question form or something.
Well, and I think that's a great way to start too, because it starts out with Paul talks about his rights as an apostle.
Yeah.
So you're like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
But if you think about it in terms of somebody was asking him questions on should you get paid? Should, you know, what are you doing? Why do you have rights over me? And
why
tell me
what
to do? Why
should we be listening to you? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's actually one of the things that we find out in both letters that we have, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, is that they seem to really push back against his apostolic authority.
Yeah.
Several times he brings this up, where it's like, you know, I'm not, you know, lording this over you or anything, but I am an apostle. I did meet Jesus. I learned from him, and I'm your teacher. So,
yeah,
I do have some authority over you.
And I love that at the start. There's a nugget at the beginning that you can easily skip over. And Paul says, "Have I not seen Jesus our Lord?"
Yeah.
And if you just stop and think about it for a minute, I mean, you know, we know Paul was going against Christianity. There was a conversion by Jesus. Paul was blind for a while, but he saw Jesus. He spent time with Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to forget about that or minimize it. Paul just kind of tosses it out there. Have I not seen Jesus?
Well, and the next thing then is you are my work. You are a result of what I'm doing. It's not the other way around. It's not that you're hanging out here and I'm doing your work. You are the result of my work. So let's keep, let's keep things in order here.
Yeah. Paul lists a number of things that he has a right to be paid, mm-hmm. Some financial support. He has a right to a wife, mm-hmm. and he specifically brings up the other apostles too. Now, we just, last week, Paul encouraged him not to be married.
Right.
But he has the right to a wife.
He has the right to be married, and to have her come along
difference.
On the,
right.
You know, she doesn't have to stay at home while he's off on the ministry trips. He has the right to bring her along, and his thing was, you guys should be paying for it. This shouldn't have to come out of our pocket. If we want to work, we can. If we don't want to work, you are our ministry. Right, you should be funding this,
and I do think that is a that this section is needed. I know when I first started going to church, it's like, never even thought about a pastor being paid.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, shouldn't they just do it because they're doing God's work? Shouldn't they do it for free?
Yeah.
And here we see in a number of places, you know, that there is some payment is due and should be due. And in fact, it even goes into the Old Testament, don't muzzle the oxen when he's working.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that the ox that is dragging around a stone behind him, crushing the grain, every now and then he can reach down and,
right,
and eat some too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And Paul is doing this specifically with apostles, and he's not talking about, you know, local church elders or whatever, but there are some general principles here that I think the reason that we can see some of these same principles is because they are applied to pastors and teachers and stuff elsewhere in other books. Galatians 6, 1 Timothy 5 specifically. Yeah. So
there's another section in here I got to bring up. Two verses, chapters 22 and 23. Paul says, "To the weak I became weak in order to gain the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all means I may save some." And we hear that verse a lot. I really like the next verse, which is verse 23. "I do all these things because of the gospel so that I can be a participant in it." And Jesus gave us a job, and that job is to take the gospel message forward to the world. In fact, just, you know, take it to the ends of the earth. He doesn't need us. He allows us to be a participant. And here's Paul understanding, I do these things because of the gospel. Jesus told me I need to take this message forward so that I can be a participant. We get a piece of this.
Yeah.
That is it isn't a right. It's something we need to do. And all of us ought to be excited about being able to take the gospel message forward and be excited about it and happy about it and know that it's not a right. It's not like a stone that is weighing us down, but we get to be a participant in God's work.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great reminder, like we've said here at Oak Tree many, many times, is that we are just a small part of a much bigger thing that God is doing. And we get to be a part of it. It's not like we have to be a part of it. And we get to be a part of this global ministry that God is doing.
Right.
Yeah. And the way he did that is, and as we go through chapter 9, is by not forcing his rights on other people. Like we said last week with chapter 8, you know, just because I have the right to do something doesn't mean I have the right to smack you in the face with it.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if it's something that is going to lead you into sin or to tear you down. So what he said is, I'm not a chameleon. I'm not just, you know, shape shifting wherever I go. But if I'm hanging out with these people, it doesn't really matter, you know, as long as I'm glorifying God, which we'll see in chapter 10, as long as I'm glorifying God, it doesn't really matter what I do in a sense. So I can hang out with these people and I can hang out with these people and I don't have to be offensive to either group. I can, you know, be like them. I can be like them.
I become all things to all people.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not hypocrisy. Some people look at it, well, you're a hypocrite. You're
right.
No, it's not about
or,
that.
It's just, or it's the bait and switch where, you know, he's acting in a role.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's a good one. It's not an act. It's like, you know, I can be comfortable here. I can be comfortable here. It doesn't really matter to me. But the goal is so that I'm not unnecessarily offending different groups of people by my rights or my preferences or my whatevers. I just want to share the gospel with them. So trying to find common ground with people.
Yeah. And it's a great way to do it. Chapter 10, we get in, it's titled, or at least my version is titled, Learning from Israel's Failures. So I think it's a good reason, you know, that we study the Old Testament and learn from the Old Testament because Paul's pulling it forward. And he pulls in four certain things, but it all comes from the time of Moses during the Exodus, where there's four big events that happened where a number of people, in some cases quite a few people, died as a result of the Israelites doing something bad.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want us to repeat it.
Well, and the big picture is that they were following Christ. He says that, you know, that yeah. this rock they were following, you know, the water from the rock or whatever. He's like, Spirit, I mean, that was Christ. I mean, he's the one who was doing it. The fire, the cloud, the whole thing. They were following Christ through the desert. And they had God right there with them. And they had Moses right there with them. And they're still
whining and not believing.
Doing all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And God kills some people here because of this huge sinful rebellion. And they're all like, oh! It's like, what is it going to take?
I know. And I keep going, how can they do that? How can they do that? But
right,
it's all of us.
Right. So I really, there's like four verses in chapter 10 that I think are especially significant. They're verses 11, 12, 13, and then all the way down to verse 31. Well, 11, 12, and 13 are these things happened to them as examples and written down for our instruction. So like you already said,
we got to learn from it. Yeah.
We don't skip the Old Testament. They were written down for a reason. Verse 12, so let the one who thinks he's standing be careful lest he fall. Don't get cocky.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. That's a great summarization of that verse.
And then number 13, verse 13 is, just because you're going through something doesn't mean that you're the only person ever in the history of the world who has had to face this.
In fact, it says the opposite.
Yeah.
What you're going through, plenty of other people
Lots
have been
of people.
It.
This is, one translation says it's common.
Common to man.
Yeah, it's common to man.
Yeah, that's the one I learned.
But God is faithful. And God is faithful. And he's not going to let you go through something. Now, this is misunderstood a lot of times. You know, God will never give you more than you can handle. Well, that's not what it says.
Yeah.
That's not what it says. Because everything we go through is more than we can handle.
Well, and we need to rely on God.
Yeah.
Right. Which we wouldn't have to if we could solve everything ourselves.
Exactly. And I think that's the big takeaway in verse 13 is that God is faithful. He's not going to allow us to be tested beyond what we are able to bear if we're relying on him. And that's the whole key. That's the understood. Yeah. Like, well, it doesn't say that. The whole context is about relying on him. So yeah, if it's just us, that's more than I can bear. If I'm relying on him because he's faithful, now I've got the rock and the shelter and the refuge and everything. So, and he will give us a way through it, you know, as we face it. And ultimately, you get down to the end of the chapter, and there's a ton of other stuff in there. But ultimately, verse 31 is, it doesn't matter what you're doing, do it to the glory of God.
Right.
And you're going to be on the right track.
Right. Okay. So then we get into a section that says avoid idle feasts. So last week we talked about eat any food you want, even if it's sacrificed. Now it's saying avoid the feasts.
Yep.
So what's the difference here?
Well, the difference is it's one thing to go to the store and you buy the meat that's already been slaughtered.
Right.
And they package it up for you, take it home, you grill it and eat it. It's a completely different thing to go to the festival of Satan and join them in their party.
Yeah.
Two completely different.
So it kind of goes back to, hey, all things are legal for me, so wouldn't this be legal?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, but it falls under also, hey, we do have a jealous God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think you made a good point that there's a difference between jealousy and envy, too. Our God is jealous. He wants what is due to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people get jealousy and envy confused as if they're the same thing. And envy is repeatedly called a sin. But God is jealous. So God can't sin. So how can jealousy? Yeah. So jealousy is wanting something that you have a right to or that you deserve. Envy is wanting something that you don't have any right to and still wanting it anyway to the point of sin, right? Where you're envious of the other person or whatever for having it. So God says, I'm a jealous God. I deserve your allegiance. I deserve your worship. I deserve all that. And when you go away, that brings out a jealousy. No different than husbands and wives and friends and other things, right?
Right, because you're mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that makes sense. And then the last part of chapter 10 is that we need to live to glorify God. And it kind of fits in with exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The idea is, okay, I can do everything. Everything is lawful for me, but not everything is good for me, and not everything is good to glorify God with.
Yeah.
So let's stick with the things that are.
And it sort of sums up, chapter 10 sort of wraps up what he's been talking about in chapters 8 and 9, because he comes back to this idea. If someone says to you, this food is from a sacrifice to an idol, he's like, okay, so don't eat it. Don't eat it. Not for your sake, because honestly, yeah, it doesn't matter, but for their sake. Right, so that you're not tearing them down. You know, he says, why is my freedom being judged by somebody else's conscience? You know, don't tell me what to do, you know. But for your sake, today, this moment, I will abstain from that because I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
But don't think I'm going to abstain for that when you go home and I go inside.
Yeah. Well, I see that as brotherly affection or unselfish love.
Right.
The love that we have. Just being nice.
Yeah. And that, by the way, can apply to all sorts of things that some people really have problems with. You know, you may do something at home that somebody's right. like, I didn't even know you did that. Right. But because you never do it in public, you're never going to do it where it might hurt somebody. But at home, you're like, there's nobody around, and I know it's just fine.
Right.
And that's what chapters 8, 9, and 10 really are talking about. I mean, partially yes. are talking about.
So then we get into chapter 11, and chapter 11 is women's head coverings.
There you go.
Yeah.
Seems so, pretty straightforward.
Right. So we all need to wear head coverings. So this can be confusing here. And I think it's important that we take the whole section, because if you read individual words, individual pieces, you can make it be whatever.
That's right.
Whatever you want it to say.
Context is king.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Paul asks them to maintain their traditions, and basically he says God is the head of Christ, right? So we have a little pecking order here.
Yeah.
So we got God on the top. God's the head of Christ. Christ is the head of every man. A man is the head of woman.
Yep.
And because of that, men shouldn't wear head coverings, and women should.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay.
Yeah.
And then later on, he puts a, you know, hey, judge for yourself. And if anybody has any quarrels with this, we don't have any other practices going on around here.
Yeah.
So how do we wrap all this together into, you know, should men not be wearing head coverings and women should be?
Well, and this is where we got to things like, you know, take your hats off indoors, or when you pray, or when you're, you know, that sort of thing for men. There's a wordplay going on in here that you really, and we don't have time in this video, yeah. but there's a wordplay going on in here with head, where it goes back and forth between our let's say our symbolic or our metaphorical head, right? Christ is the head of a man. Man is right. the head of his wife, you know, woman, and physical head. So what Paul was saying was that, at least in their tradition, and their, I think it's a cultural thing. Not everybody agrees with that, but I think right. there's a culture aspect to this, that what they did with their physical head reflected their metaphorical head, reflected on their metaphorical head. So there was something in the culture that if a woman ran around without some kind of head covering, it was this looseness, this freeness, this no answering to any authority at all, which was not a good thing, at least in right. that culture, right? So, no, I don't think that applies directly, like that specific thing. I think we need to look in our culture, what are those things where we can honor the authority that is above us, within our culture, right?
Right.
So husbands and wives and us and God right. and that sort of thing.
Well, even like things in church today, please, you know, everybody please stand or bow your head or,
yeah,
you know, other things.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, they're, you know, if a lady wants to wear a scarf or a head covering or something when, you know, she prays or in church or something, I don't think that's wrong. I'm certainly not telling people to not do that.
Yeah.
But I would say we need to look at that. And is do you think you're closer to God because of that? Do you think it's a requirement or a command? Are you doing it out of duty, or you know, why are you doing that?
Yeah. So do you think Paul's saying at the very beginning about maintaining traditions makes this whole section more about traditions, and that's a way to say in those days those traditions are that, and in our days it's different?
I think that. I want to be careful with that, but he does not refer to traditions very often throughout his letters. This is not something that comes up a lot. So when it does, I think we should at least stop and consider, what is it? Is it like a Jewish tradition? Was this something from the Old Testament law that he's still trying to apply to the culture? Was this a tradition? Was this an opinion? We already saw in chapter 7, he's like, hey, this is just my opinion. So as we go through this section where they're asking him questions, how should we do this? And in one place he gives an opinion, and in one place he's talking about traditions. I think we've got to be very careful about just how far we push some of these things as law.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we end the reading this week with the Lord's Supper, or we kind of bump up against it. We don't get all the way there. But Paul lets them know he's not happy with them.
Yeah.
He's mad with them. And it seems that each week they come together for worship. They come together for some meals. But there's divisions. And we know that there's divisions in this church.
Yeah.
And he's like, guys, you're not really eating the Lord's Supper. Some of you are going just there to get drunk. Others bring your own food. You're not sharing with everybody. You're in your own little cells. This is not the way it was intended.
You don't wait until everybody shows up. You eat all the food before everybody's there.
Yep.
And we don't know how often this particular feast happened, but it was
week after week, but it didn't necessarily say that.
And it could be, but it seems like it was sort of a potluck, carry-in type thing. And he's like, when you do this, this is, like you said, it's not just your little home group or whatever. Wait until everybody's there, share, participate together,
Right. Yeah, the idea isn't to eat as much food as you can. The idea is to have some fellowship with your fellow believers and get to know somebody better and understand them a little bit more.
Yeah, and he goes, don't you have houses that you can eat and drink? And if you're just that hungry, have a snack before you come. The purpose is not to fill up. The purpose is, like you said, the fellowship and the communion celebration itself, is what it's working toward. And by the time you get there, and we'll see this in the next reading, there were some pretty tough judgments on people because they were abusing it. So,
yeah.
The end is sort of, what should I say to you? Should I praise you? I will not praise you for this.
Yeah.
And that's
not happy.
Not happy at all. So.
I think this is more of what he said a couple weeks ago. The father's discipline.
Yeah.
Where he is making judgments on things that need to be changed in an immature church.
Yeah. And I think I really love the way he's doing it. And this is also, if you read it from this perspective, it's sort of a lesson in leadership, right?
Yeah.
He said, I would rather spank you with a letter so that when I show up, we can have, good fellowship and we can restore our relationship, than to have all this stuff festering. And when I come, wait until your dad gets home I have to come and spank you in person. And then we don't have this restoration time.
Yeah.
Let's get this stuff fixed now so that when I show up, it's good.
Right.
And I love that from a leadership perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good. I think that takes us through the reading for this week.
Yeah. So next time we will the next three chapters are spiritual gifts, and so we'll be spending a lot of time on that one topic because Paul spent a lot of time on that one topic. It was a big deal in Corinth, and it's a big deal today. A little bit left in chapter 11, and then. We're only a couple weeks from the end of 1 Corinthians. So hopefully you're finding this helpful. If you have questions like they had for Paul, maybe you have questions. He's not here to answer them, but I'll bet we can find some answers elsewhere in Scripture if we can't hear in 1 Corinthians. So send them on over, and we'd be happy to help you with that. Until next time.
Bye, everybody.